He's going to show the riches of his grace in us. We are going to be the riches of his grace. You know why? Because none of us deserved it. And man, what God did for us, we were so undeserving. And when we're up there, we're going to be trophies of grace. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter number 17. Last Sunday, we recognized some that was veterans here, that the ones visiting and those who attend, and I appreciate the veterans. I appreciate people who have went and fought for our country and served in the country. This morning, as we get into this, I'll share this. Elijah here is going through some experiences of his life. And you'll see some things that we'll learn, some lessons that we'll learn. Life sometimes can be a good teacher. And sometimes it's easy to say, well, I know how you feel, but when you've gone through it, you really know how they feel. I used to tell Chris, I said she lost her mom and dad. She said, I miss my dad. I said, yeah, I know how you feel, or I understand how you feel, but now I really understand how she feels. Since I've lost mine, I think about them and so different things. And plus, there's other times in life that we go through things, and some of you have suffered things, and you went through things that I've never went through, and I really admire. My dad told me one time, and we talked about it several times, but one time on a trip to Cincinnati, I was taking him up there to see a doctor. We got talking about his military experience. Now, he thought he was a man, like some of the boys do here. He was 15, like some of you 15-year-olds around here. He got this wise idea in school one day. There was this thing called Korean War going on. He was a man. He could handle it. So he got his cousins to sign, and he left school and he went and enrolled himself into the army, being 15 and the man that he was. And so he went and he signed up. He got into this thing called boot camp. And man, were those people rude. He was all of a sudden seeing a discipline that he'd never faced before. He was having to do some work that he wasn't used to doing. He was having to go through some regiment training that he didn't realize. There was times of loneliness. He learned that he had to obey commands without coming back. Man, I wish some of the 15-year-olds here would learn that. Quit coming back. He got in the Korean War, and he found out that he wasn't as much of a man as he thought he was. He ended up going to the kitchen, KP duty, and he served in the Korean War, but he learned some valuable lessons there. But they made a soldier out of him and made a man out of him in a lot of ways. You see this, and chapter 17 starts out with Elijah the Tishbite. It ends up in verse 24, Elijah the man of God. Some of the trials that we go through will make soldiers out of us. The reason why they put you through boot camp the way they do is because they take a mama's boy and somebody's not been away from home, and a soldier is born when they come out of boot camp. And it's through the hardships and the disciplines that they learn their lessons. And you know, the problem that we have today in this generation, they haven't known the hardships. And they don't understand discipline. And therefore, the first thing they do is want to whine and quit every time an issue comes up in their life. The sad part about it is it carries on when they get married. And when they have to face some of the issues a marriage brings upon them, The first thing to do is walk off, because that's how they've always solved all their problems, instead of facing it and dealing with it head on. There is something that we all have common here, folks. Everybody here has needs. Some are physical, some emotional, some are spiritual, but we all have needs at different times in our lives, and we all have all those at different times. It's awful easy sometimes to sit and worry about things, but what God wants us to do is have faith in Him. Let's begin reading. I'm going to read a little bit more normal today, but I need to do this to get across the message. Begin reading verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." In other words, he was sent to tell Ahab, the king, because of some things that Ahab did, there was going to be a famine in the land, and there's going to be a drought in the land. For 3.5 years, it was not going to rain. Not even the dew was going to fall. Verse 2, "And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan." Now, the name Cherith means to be cut, means cutting off. In other words, God took Elijah and cut him off from where Ahab was. It goes on, and it says in verse 4, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Verse 7, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise and get thee to Zarephath." And the name Zarephath, now names in the Bible meant something. It means to go through the refining process. In other words, to go through the fire. It says, "Get to Zarephath." It was a Gentile nation, and it was one that he sent to. And the Lord brought that up in Luke chapter 4. And he gave verse 10. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil and cruse. Behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, till the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went, she did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times. And he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again." Now if you'll notice there, that was a type of the resurrection of Jesus. 3 days and 3 nights. And so after three times, he came back to life again. Amen. Look on. Verse 22. "And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. The woman said to Elijah, now, by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us. Help us, Lord, as we look into this. We ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Now, notice these things, and the reason why I read this chapter, there was three incidents that works together. The first one, I want you to take note that Elijah was doing what God told him to do, in which he went to the king Ahab, and because of the wickedness of the king, he told him that it was not going to rain nor dew fall for 3.5 years. Well, Ahab and Jezebel was looking for the head of Elijah, and so God sent him to the brook Cherith. Now notice this and get this in your mind. This situation came upon Elijah because he was doing what God told him to do. Sometimes when we are serving God, things come in our life and we have to do things that we don't understand. But we have to realize that God has a purpose for those things. And sometimes, like the disciples that found the storm in the midst of the sea, sometimes we're doing exactly what God told us to do, but just because he puts us through a trial and a trouble and a tribulation in our life does not mean that we're always doing something wrong. Sometimes God puts us through that when we're doing exactly what he told us to do. And that's what we find in Elijah. Then we find as he fed him there, he fed him with ravens. They would bring bread and flesh every morning, every evening. He would drink of the brook Cherith. Then we find that the brook dried up. Now again, sometimes when we're doing what God wants us to do, we get comfortable in the place, and all of a sudden God dries our brook up, and we have to go do something different. We don't understand why, but God has a purpose. And sure enough, he had a purpose to bring him to a widow's house. Now this widow of Zarephath was a Gentile. They served around her. They were adulterous place. So of all the people in the world, and Jesus asked the Pharisees when they thought too much of themselves, if the Jews were so great, why did God send Elijah to this Gentile instead of sending him to one of the Jews, the widow Jews that was there? And so he sent her to a widow. Now, during those times, widows was the poorest of the poor. If you notice, she had a handful of meal and a little bit of oil, and she was out gathering sticks when Elijah came on. And she was going to make one piece of bread, and her and her son was going to split it and eat it and die. And knowing a mother like this, she's probably going to let her son eat it, and then she's going to sit there and die with him. I know when I was growing up, if I was hungry and there was one thing to eat, Mom wouldn't have dared ate it. That's why we treasure the love of a mother. But getting back to this widow and her son was experiencing drought not because of their sin, but because of sin of somebody else. The nation there was experiencing hard times because of Ahab and Jezebel, their sin. Many of the things we experience was because our leaders are making decisions, and decisions that they're making. Sometimes you have to suffer because of the sins of others. I look at these children over here sometimes, my heart's ripped out. I look at these children here. Some of them are suffering because of the sins of their parents that's been passed on to third and fourth generation. Somebody was talking about certain things and said that it gets to be a generational thing. The reason why it gets to be a generation thing is because our sins are passed to third and fourth generations. I tell you, we created a new subject over there this year in high school. Doris and I teach, and we named it creative writing, and we've assigned 10 different subjects. The first thing is a bio, and that is people tells us about themselves. And she's had the same experience I have. Some of the people that you read their story of their life, it rips your heart out. I could go into detail, but I don't want to go into detail because I'm afraid people would figure out some things. But I want to say this. If you've had a good upbringing, don't judge everybody by your outcome. Because some people have gone through some tough, tough, tough things. And be honest with you, if I'd gone through some of them things, I don't know where I would be in this day and time. But anyway, getting back to this, I want you to notice, not only that, but she was suffering because of the sins of Ahab and Jezebel. Then all of a sudden she was good, she did what she was told to do, and her son died. Some of you have lost your children. There's few in here that's lost their children. I know it ripped your hearts out, no doubt about it. But again, she was doing what God told her to do and still lost her child. So what I want you to understand is sometimes we can go through some great sorrow even when we are doing what the Lord would have us to do. Now, notice here that in the story that God brought him to the brook, Cherith, the thing that you need to remember is this. The brook just didn't have to be there. Everything that was made by God. The wonderful thing about it is God made some past preparations. The Bible says that God knows the end from the beginning. Somebody asked me, said one time, I was preaching on the book of life. They said, boy, I thought you was a hyper-Calvinist when you started teaching on the book of life. I said, I'm not a hyper-Calvinist, but I believe this. A hyper-Calvinist and I separate when they believe a doctrine that man has no choice in his future, in his salvation. I believe a man has a choice. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't invite whosoever will, let him come. Right. Whosoever means whoever's willing to come, let him come. But where I agree is God is sovereign. Our God is so wise and knowing that he knows everything from the beginning all the way to the end. And he knew the end from the beginning. Now, let me say this, and I won't get into this. Sometime I might teach on it again. But when I do, I deal with every verse in the Bible that deals with this subject. The book of life, when you study it out, is a book that God wrote from the beginning of time that had everybody's name that would ever be born in it. There's never anywhere in the Bible that a name is ever added into the book of life. It's only taken out. And so the Bible says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. When your name's been blotted out, my friend, there's no hope for you. Man, now let's get on. But what I want you to understand is that God knows all things. And so even the problems that we're going to face, they might catch us by surprise. They don't catch the Lord by surprise. He said, I want you to go down here to this brook I created a long time ago that I was going to feed you with ravens. That raven there, I allowed that little mother raven to get pregnant with that raven. She brought birth that raven. And I knew one day that raven's going to feed you right here at this brook. That's how much God knows. And so therefore, it wasn't no surprise. And so when the famine began to fall, he said, I want you to go over here and cut yourself off to Cherith. And so he went to the brook Cherith, and he came and he fed them there. And so God had made a past preparations to feed Elijah. And so he already knew what he was going to do. Now, Elijah didn't know what he was going to do for food. He was going to be in a place. And God just told him to go over. I'm going to feed you with ravens. I'm going to let you drink from the brook. Then when it dried up, guess what? Then all of a sudden God had preparations already planned. He said, I want you to go over here to Zarephath. There's a widow over there. He knew exactly where he was going to send them. He knew exactly what was going on. It wasn't no surprise with God. And can I let you in on just a little bit of secret? Nothing in your life is a surprise with God. Everything that's going to happen tomorrow, he already knows what's going to happen. That's the knowledge of God. The Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. And in Isaiah chapter 45, he talked about that he would have a king named Cyrus. He named him by name. He told exactly how he was going to get to be king, what he was going to do to Babylon, how he's going to conquer Babylon. And you know what? That was 200 years before Cyrus was even born. He told Jeremiah before he was born, he told David before he was born, I knew you. I already had you wrote down. He told Jeremiah before you was born in your mother's womb, I called you. Then knew what you was going to do. That's the foreknowledge of God. The foreknowledge of God is great. He knows all things. Now look here. And so therefore, he already knew where he's going to send him. He sent him over this widow's house. You know why? He was taking care of his present needs. That's the way God is. And not only that, but he also knew that he's going to take care of his needs in the future. Look, he went to the widow, and he told her. She was there gathering sticks. She had one little handful, and he said, listen. He said, I want you to feed me. And then you can go do what you want going to do. And you can go ahead and eat what's left, and you and your son can die if that's what you plan on doing. But in verse 14, he told her, he said, what the Lord said was this. The barrel of milk shall not waste, neither the cruse of oil fail. In other words, he said, listen, we have some promises for tomorrow. I don't know what's going to come. But I know this. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And even if I'm going through a hard time, I'm not forsaken because I have his promise that he won't do that. And so I don't know what he's going to do, but I know this. He's made me some promises of the future, and he told me that we know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and call according to his purpose. And so therefore I know that whatever's in my life is going to be for my best. So I know those things. And so even though I don't know what tomorrow may hold, I know who holds tomorrow. Amen? So that's important. So now let's look just a few moments, if you would, at this situation that Elijah was in. Now again, remember that he had confronted Ahab and he had went into the wilderness because of the fact that he was in doing the will of God. And so again, remember that we will have issues even when we're trying to serve God. You know, a bunch of these people on TV, these TV evangelists, just makes me sick. A lot of them. They're one of these, they teach that, boy, if you're in the will of God, you're going to have prosperity, you're not going to be sick, you're not going to have these things. That's not taught in Scripture at all. The Bible says he will provide our needs, but there are trials and tribulations we are sure to go through. That's part of our life. If we suffer with him, we will reign with him. And so when we do this, but the wonderful thing is that when God knows we're going through something, he works on both ends. I mean, think about that. Whenever Jacob and his sons was fixing to go into a famine, guess what? Joseph was being sold in slavery by his own brothers to prepare for that day. Isn't it amazing that God works at both ends? When you look at the story of in Esther, remember when Haman was going to do away with the Jews of Mordecai? God had Esther brought in to be queen. Isn't it amazing? And so there is no mistakes with God, and God has those things to do, and he continues. And you can go through the Bible, I mean, 100 times. I mean, when Rahab needed to be saved, guess what? He sent some spies, and guess where they end up? Right in Rahab's house. Isn't it amazing how God works those things? And some people don't know, but people says, why pray? Because when you pray, a lot of times, what God does is start working on both ends to bring it together. And he allows situations to happen in people's lives. And sometimes they're not pleasant situations. Sometimes there's painful situations. But he does that to bring together a purpose that he wants to get accomplished. Amen? Now, so we have to have faith in the will of God when we're doing the will of God. We also have to have faith in the ways of God. When he dries up our brooks and he sends us somewhere else, to somebody else, we've got to understand that God's ways are far higher than our ways. He knows much more than we do. And therefore, we do not challenge. The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. And therefore, as heaven is higher than the earth, so is his ways and thoughts higher than our ways and thoughts. So we have to understand that God's ways are not. Somebody said, well, that's not the way I would do it. Listen, there's a lot of things happening in my life that I would not have done it that way. But God has a way of doing it. And his ways are always good, even though we don't understand it. Elijah may have been scratching his head saying, I wonder why I got to go over here. But you know what he did? He just went. Not only that, but we also have to have not only faith in that, we have to have faith in the works of God. how God works things out. Look, if you would, back in your Bibles a moment and look in verse 13. You ought to underline this if you haven't got it. First of all, you need to understand Elijah said unto her what? What's those two famous words? Fear not. Boy, isn't it good to have a peace that you don't have to fear everything in the world. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. And you don't have to fear. But notice what the next three words are. What's the next three words after fear not? Go and do. Look, if you would, in verse 15. And she what? She went and did. So therefore, when he told her to go and do, and she went and did, guess what happened? Exactly what God said to happen. And so what we have to do is understand that when God tells us to do something, we need to have confidence in the works of God. The fact that God can work those things out. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added to you. You say, well, where are they coming from? I don't know, but he has a way of working them out. There was a guy by the name of George Mueller. Any of you ever hear of George Mueller? In Bristol, England, he had orphanages. He, as a matter of fact, he had tens of thousands of orphans come through those orphanages. But you know what? You know how George Mueller started his life? He was a troublemaker. He was a thief. He stole. He was untrustworthy. He got in fights all the time. He went to prison. Did you know that? Mean. He come out of prison, and he got saved. And God began to speak to him. And when God began to speak to him, he looked upon the streets of Bristol, England, and he saw orphans running around that had no place to live. And so he started an orphanage home. Then he started a second one and a third one. He believed that he read and he found that he could trust God to provide his needs. He found that, and the Bible said, he found that the Bible said that if we would ask God, he would provide our needs. And if we would seek first the kingdom of God, he'd provide these things. And so what he declared in his heart was this. If you haven't ever read his life story in the biography, you ought to let me know. I'll let you have the book and you need to read it. But what he decided was this. He decided that he would have faith in God alone to provide these orphanages. He took no money from, there was no government money at that time. And he never told anybody ever what he needed. The only person he told what he needed was God. And so every day he got up where he was having 2,000 orphans in his orphanages at the same time. And he never asked nobody for nothing. When it come time, one famous issue that they bring out, and there's many, many, thousands and thousands of situations God would provide. But in this situation, what happened was, he got up that morning and his kids, he had nothing in his orphans to feed them, nothing. He told the kids to get their plates, go sit down at the tables, and they would be fed. He went back into the back room and prayed. Knock on the door. He opened the door and the baker said, listen, God's put on my heart that your kids might be hungry this morning. And he brought bread enough for every one of them. And so he gave them bread and he went back to his room and he no more got in there and began praying to God again and knock on the door. And he went to the door and the milkman, his wagon had broke down, and he said, would you care if I unload my milk here, and you can have it because I've got to fix my wagon and get it where I can move it. And so all the kids had milk and bread. Over and over, thousands of times that happened, and not one time did he ever tell one single soul what he needed other than God. You think you have needs that God can't meet? You think you've got something in your life God can't do? You don't understand the works of God. He might not do it the way you want it to be done, but he can get it accomplished. Not only that, but notice as well, look back in verse 14. Not only do you have to have confidence in the fact that these things will happen when you're in the will of God and trying to do the ways of God, but also notice that the word of God. You know where she could just rest? When he said, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel." That's all she needed. Now listen to me. Some of you young people, listen to me, and maybe some of you older ones. Some of you guys are having such a troubled time understanding salvation and getting a grip of it. Let me tell you what salvation is. Thus saith God. When he said, "Whosoever shall come unto me and call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved," he said it and you will be. You might not get a hold of it and understand it, but you need to understand, when he said it, that settled it. And listen, when Elijah went and told the widow, said, "Listen, the Lord God has said," that's all she needed to know. When he said, "Listen, your meal will not cease and your oil will not cease until rain comes," guess what? Every day she went to that barrel and there was meal there. And every time she went to the cruise, there was oil. You know why? Thus saith the Lord God. Somebody said, "Well, I don't understand it." He didn't say you had to understand it. He said, "Just believe it." Have faith in God. Now, last but not least, let me cover this. Now, close. How about the wonders of what God done? Somebody said, "Well, preacher, this is a hard case." The Bible says, is there anything too hard for God? Somebody said, "Well, you don't know what I'm going through." Man, God's able to take your life. I don't care what kind of mess you're in. He's able to change you. Isn't that right, Julie? I'm telling the truth, ain't I? Huh? She's known several down her line. She's kind of gone through it herself. Listen, several of us have. Isn't it wonderful to know that God can change? And somebody said, "Well, preacher, you just don't understand. Listen, I've never seen it done before, what I'm asking God to do." Do you understand? Elijah never seen nobody resurrected from the dead. He didn't know why and what God was doing, so all he knew to do was he got the little boy, he took him up there to his chambers where he was staying, laid him on his bed, he laid on him three times, God brought him back to life. The three Hebrew children didn't know what it was like and what was going to happen when they went in that furnace. They'd never seen anybody go in the furnace and come back out alive. As a matter of fact, the men died that threw them in there. They'd never seen that and come out and not even have the hair singed on their head. They didn't know that was going to happen when they went in there. It never happened like that before. But you know what? God was able to do it. And look in the lives of several down through there. Notice times when God intervened. And listen, people never seen it happen like that before. But that's the wonder of God. He can do anything he wants to. And so therefore, what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is this. Whatever your needs, physical, emotional, spiritual, I know just the person. The key is this. What was the secret that brought all these things together to be success? F-A-I-T-H. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So this morning, let me ask you something. You need something from God? You've got to believe that he can do it. And you must be willing to come to him for it. Would you come this morning? Maybe you need to be saved. Whosoever will, let him come. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Maybe you're going through some issues in your life that you just need to understand. He says, come. Let us reason together. And maybe you just need to come. Maybe there's something else in that life. Maybe an issue physically that's going on in your life. And you say, well, preacher, what if he don't heal me of this? Paul found out. He said, listen, when I become weak, he becomes strong. And I found out that his grace was sufficient.
He didn't have to remove the thorn in my flesh. He just gave me grace to deal with it. And so there might be something in your life that God gives you grace that you need grace for. You said, "Preacher, I'm going through a battle right now, and I'm having such a hard time." Come and find the grace. But you only do that when you humble yourself and come to God. Would you come this morning as we stand, give a song of invitation? How about this morning?